Beatrice.
This happened when I was 5, and it's the reason I won't go over to my aunt's house anymore. My cousin Candace is my age, and when you're kids, nothing is better than getting to sleep over at each other's house. My mom worked nights, so I got to sleep over with my cousin more than other kids may have. The basement was made into a room where we could spend the whole night in on sleepovers. As an adult, I realized that my aunt probably really enjoyed having me over for more than just helping out my mom, her sister. When my aunt was 22, she had a miscarriage. She was supposed to have a girl and even had a name picked out, Beatrice. So hearing kids have fun in the house was probably a welcome noise for my aunt. The sleepover was going just like the ones before. Fun, 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 until it was time to get to bed. Since we were both so young and little, Candace and I would just share the bed in the basement. On this night, I woke up at around 3 a.m. I could hear some girl talking upstairs. I thought it was Candace, but I saw her sleeping right next to me, and it wasn't my aunt's voice. Eventually, I got the courage to walk upstairs. That's when I saw a little girl who looked no older than 10. She was talking to herself. I didn't know the girl, but she looked familiar. I went up to her and said hi. She looked at me, smiled, and introduced herself as Beatrice. Then she gestured for me to go outside with her. I shook my head. She kept gesturing me to go outside. I said, I don't want to go, it's dark. Her expression changed to a frown. At this point, I realized I don't know this girl, and I guess neither did my aunt or my cousin. So who is she? I asked her why she was in my aunt's house. She got angry. She grabbed me by my arm, trying to drag me outside. I yelled, ran to the basement, and locked the doors. I could hear her screaming. The next day, I told Candace about what happened. Candace, confused, asked her mom about the little girl, Beatrice. My aunt got nervous. She ended up telling Candace and I to go play outside. She called my mom. Before going outside, I heard my aunt on the phone asking my mom how I knew about Beatrice. But I was 5, so playing outside just erased any concern Candace and I had. As I got older, and the more I went to my aunt's house, the more I saw Beatrice leering through doorways or standing in my aunt's backyard. That's why when I got old enough to decide for myself, I just never went to my aunt's house again.
Welcome to the True Scary Stories with Edie podcast. This is a podcast where two comedians read scary stories and we talk about them. So there is commentary on this podcast. If you're not into that, check out Just the Terror, our other episodes that don't have any commentary.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
If you want to submit a scary story to us, you could do it on the website, the Facebook group, or the Instagram, all at True Scary Stories with Edie and Nick.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, cool. I think that this story, it really troubles me because why is the girl 10 if she was never born?
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Right? Why is she 10? And then it makes me think that maybe someone was looking out for the mom to not have the kid.
Yeah.
It seems like the kid's not good.
Oh, scary.
And now maybe the kid's a little mad about it.
Chills. Yeah, maybe.
Chills?
Yeah.
What do you think, Nick?
For a second, I like your interpretation. I didn't even think about that. It's you rarely think about, oh, that's right, because the kid didn't actually grow up.
No, it didn't know. And so why was he already 10?
Yeah.
I also know someone named Beatrice. No, I know two people named Beatrice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, two kids.
Oh, they're kids right now?
One of them, I think, is 10.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the kids I teach is 2 and 1 is 10.
Yeah.
Maybe I know Beatrice. And she does scream a lot.
Yeah.
When I make her go underwater. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. But, I mean, yeah, you know, you may have hit on something here. Maybe it is an entity trying to take the shape of something familiar and then it knows the name Beatrice just because it could read it. Like,
it's a good demon name.
Yeah, well, and not so, yeah, that, but also, like, you know, the whole idea of, like, don't play with a Ouija board because whatever you're contacting is already in your head, reading your thoughts and answering
right
your...
It's good too because of the, like, if you were doing a Ouija board and a name, it was like, what's your name, and it was like B-E-A-U-A. It's like,
whoa,
so long.
Whoa.
it's like so long, and they would get a lot of time. It would get a lot of airtime with you.
That's a long version of Beatrice.
Okay, cool.
This one just looks like beet rice.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to spell it. I just assume it's long.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. Let's keep going. Okay, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to be talking about some missing children.
It was scary.
It is scary, and I'm glad that you picked a story about a creepy kid, because that kind of goes with my theme.
Oh, man.
All right, this story is called My Son Disappeared, and it is from Hot Rabbit 999.
Ooh, scary.
Scary name.
Yes.
I'm not sure if this counts, but when I was on holiday in Japan, walking near Mount Fuji, my son, who was 2, was running off a little bit in front of us, as kids do. When he turned the corner, he went out of sight. I hurried to check behind the bend where he went around, and I reached it just a few seconds after him, and he had vanished, absolutely vanished into nowhere. I couldn't hear him and couldn't see him, so I panicked, dropped my backpack off, and set off in a dead sprint, traveling way more ground than he could have ever possibly have done, worried that he might have been kidnapped or wandered off the trail, but I couldn't find him, not a sight of him. So I sent my wife to go get help while I went and searched. Back in Russia, I was a SAR and a good at tracking people, but there was nothing to show in any direction where my son had gone. The authorities came in and searched, but couldn't find him. Then 2 hours later, he reappeared basically in the same spot that we had lost him, giggling and happy and clean, like he hadn't gone anywhere and had just taken the previous step. To this day, we have no explanation as to where he went, and he was too little to describe it to us. Besides the 2 hours with no dirt on his pants or needing a diaper change or anything, it was impossible for him. It freaked me out so much, and now I found this group, and I think I may have found a solution as to where he went.
Ooh, what was the group?
This group, this is on Reddit.
Oh, okay, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it was a missing time group?
Yeah.
This alien abduction?
This is like a missing kind of person's missing time group.
Yeah.
I don't know what a SAR is.
Search and rescue.
Wow.
There you go.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Oh, you're smart. Okay. What do you think of this, though? You can't like have me read the story and then me have to be the first one to talk.
But you didn't have to.
Okay, go.
You just like talking.
Go.
It's wild. You know, because when they said... the kid came back clean. I was like, oh, well, whoever took him was very kind. That's what I thought. I didn't even realize. Oh, as in he didn't do anything.
Do you ever wonder if they're like, man, I wish they would take him again.
Yeah. Hey, can you go take him again, please?
He's kind of dirty right now.
Yeah.
Sticky.
I mean, you know, it's scary. That's it. I don't know. The kid didn't have any input on it.
No, he's too little. So
I wonder if now or like later in his life he's gonna finally like remember things, because you know later in life I remember things as a child.
This was posted a year ago, so I guess he's never.
He still hasn't. About it, he hasn't talked about
which
it,
which has got to be aggravating because it's like, what happened?
But he hasn't talked about it. But he has picked up a bad cigarette habit. He's like, oh, the things I've seen at 2.
Okay, but it is impossible for a kid not to go to the bathroom for 2 hours.
He may be a pro. Maybe that's what's, I don't know. You're
2 hours?
No,
and somebody who doesn't know how to hold going to the bathroom.
It sounds like aliens were trying to abduct a human, picked up a kid, and they're like, this is, we can't do this. How far have we gone? We're not monsters, people.
Or and they maybe put him back. He did go to the bathroom, and then they're like, what do we do? Yeah, I don't have a diaper. And they're like, let's just go back in time.
Just go back in time.
Before he went to the bathroom.
And then the poop went back in his butthole. Just for first time.
Send him back.
Send him back, quick. He pooped his pants.
thing's disgusting.
Ew, it's terrible. Stinking up the whole spaceship.
Send it back. Okay, let's keep going. There was another comment here I wanted to share with you guys. This comes from Timmy Farlight. Says, I'm happy that someone else is actually interested in this. In Romania, during the communist regime before 89, there was a group called Department Zero. Their job was to investigate reported paranormal phenomena inside the country's borders. After the fall of communism, some other things were declassified. There was a place in the... Now I'm gonna mess this up. Busuji Mountains,
okay,
where people disappeared often. They went there with the military, and one of the guys disappeared while they were investigating. When he came back, he managed to articulate what happened, and he said that everything was backwards all of a sudden and upside down, and he couldn't even speak right.
Wow.
So what happens to these people? Where do they go?
They get picked up by aliens. They poop themselves. And then the aliens are like, reverse time. Everything was backwards. I couldn't speak right. It's like I was speaking in reverse. And my poop went back in my bowl.
So this is all about alien abductions that yeah, that are okay up until the
up
point.
Until they realize the person
poops. Seems like it could be very easily solved by just picking up people who are hungry and not feeding them for the 2 hours.
Okay, you're right.
Or just getting a toilet.
Yeah, well, it's that fight or flight.
Well, aliens don't even wear clothes, so you're right. What do they do with that?
Yeah,
they don't even have butts. I've never even seen them have little butts.
No, they don't have... All of that doesn't make sense to them. Pooping is not meant for space travel. So,
right.
You know, so they don't
they
have
guts and stuff.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah? How do you know?
I've seen alien autopsies.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, I can't say autopsies, but
I've seen alien autopsies, sir. Can I have a...
I've been in the room.
Yes, please, sir.
I've seen it online. Okay, cool. Let's
I have more pudding, sir?
Can I have more autopsies? All right, and this one I found in another group. This is about a grandpa. So back in 2017, my grandfather went missing. He walked pretty much everywhere and rarely stayed at home if he didn't have to. So when he told my grandmother he was going to get a haircut, all she said was just to drive since it was raining. But he never came home. My grandmother called my dad, and he immediately called the police department up there, booked the soonest flight, and went out to search. It took a couple of days, but they found his car about 80 miles from their house, on the side of the road near a rather steep hillside in Nia Bay. The police searched the car but found nothing suspicious, though they didn't find him. The area his car was found in was too steep to properly walk down, so it was very bizarre. A few weeks later, his body washed up a mile from where his car was, but it was missing parts, specifically his leg. His leg ended up washing up on the beach in Canada, and his feet showed up randomly. We knew it was him because he wore specific orthopedic shoes. We still have no idea what happened to him. Another odd part was that during this, my sister was a junior in high school and was in an anthropology class. The teacher pulled up the article about the beach, and in the photo they used and in the article was my grandfather's foot. My sister told the teacher, I think that's my grandfather's foot. But she wasn't sure because my parents hadn't told her yet.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, it makes me think, too, like, would I be recognizable by my foot, my shoe?
I know. You have to have a very distinct shoe.
I know. Yeah, that's that. And it's like details like that where it's like, was that meant to be that he had that, he needed that specific shoe because it was supposed to be a clue?
Yeah, man.
But they still don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
What do you think? It doesn't say any robbery or anything. Don't stop with the poop.
There is no poop in this situation. Okay. You started there. I think it's another alien mishap of picking up something like Oh, we got a different type of human. You broke his leg. you broke his leg. I don't know. It's crazy. I would have to know how far the distance is from where the foot was found and the body was found. Maybe it's just because he fell down something.
Well, also, like, how does that come off? Animals?
Yeah, animals. That's why it's like, well, how is there a sense to where they were found? The possibility of them being found because of that? Or is it really just a very crazy coincidence?
It seems like maybe he didn't like driving. He didn't like driving, right? The grandma says, I want you to drive since it's raining. He's not a driver. He doesn't drive very often.
Yeah.
He's driving 80 miles away, though.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe the aliens did pick him up somewhere in the back. They put him back down. And then when they put him back down, it was raining. He doesn't drive very often.
Yeah.
He's old.
They didn't Google pin it.
Yeah, it was near a cliff.
Yeah.
So he... Sorry.
It's all right.
He gets out... Well, he didn't fall, but like he stops the car and he's like, you know what, I'm just going to walk because I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
And then he falls down the cliff.
Yeah.
Sharks or whatever, animals eat his foot. You know.
And then they spit it out. Oh,
well,
apparently sharks don't like the taste of human.
How are they going to eat the foot with the shoe in it?
Yeah.
With the shoe out it.
They find tires in sharks, but sharks don't like humans.
Or just, I'm not saying just sharks, like any kind of, there's more than in the ocean that eats people than sharks.
Yeah.
Or maybe some kind of like
ocean aliens.
Yeah, maybe some kind of ocean creature was near the cliff and was like, okay, well, let's get that.
Okay, let's get that foot off of you. Okay, all right.
Let's keep going. All right, and I've got one more. This is a little tiny one. This one's about the Cascade Mountains.
Okay.
Several years ago, a friend's boyfriend went on a hike in the Cascade Mountains. It was late September, which is that time of the year where the weather conditions can flip at a moment's notice. His hiking buddy said that one minute they were walking and talking, and all of a sudden he looked behind him and realized he was alone. Ooh, the music. We organized search parties for weeks, but no trace of him was ever found. The only thing that makes sense is the guy just lost his footing and slid down the mountain, but there was no evidence of a slide or damage to vegetation. I still wonder if the guy chose to disappear in order to avoid something like debt.
Oh.
But that would be really hard to do. Like, just...
When you said lost his footing, I was like, so did the grandpa. But literally,
it's not funny.
So you think the guy just was like, "Okay, yeah, I'm gonna disappear off the grid. It's gonna freak one guy out."
I don't know how that would because they were walking and talking. I know when you're on a hike, some of the parts of the hike gets hard, so you kind of shut up because you want to catch your breath. But I feel like I would notice.
Yeah.
If someone was just, I didn't hear them walking anymore. What kind of guy was this? He was so far ahead of his friend, just leaving him in the back.
Yeah, probably playing music on the hikes. Oh. You know, he's one of those dudes.
I don't like those kind of people.
Brings his own little, his own little jam box. Probably playing.
That's probably why the guy went missing. He was like, I don't like this kind of guy.
I don't like this kind of guy. Hey, you want to listen to, some 90s hip hop?
Good thing you like 90s hip hop or 90s rock.
Yeah, which one? Anything 90s?
Yeah, I got a lot of Goldfinger.
Yeah, so it's quite loud.
I got a lot of Goldfinger on
and
this
so
trip.
His friend was like, never mind. I don't need this friend.
Well, Cascade Mountains. I don't know where that is, but remember we did that whole episode about the national parks, and that's a huge thing now, showing that people who go missing in the national parks. And it's kind of the same thing where they just go missing and there's no
sign of it.
Yeah. But also, maybe he got picked up off by an animal. No, because if he got picked off by an animal, then it would have made some kind of noises.
Unless the guy was listening to music.
Yeah.
And just thought it was part of his music. He's like, oh, man, I never heard a person screaming in the back of this song before.
If you play this song backwards, you can hear your friend screaming. I never noticed that.
You You set me up. If you play the song backwards, you can hear poop going back.
Oh, my God. This is so immature.
You're the one that said backwards. That's the secret word of the podcast today. Backwards. When someone says backwards.
This has got a very much different level than I thought it was going to go. I thought you were going to be real freaked out. All right, let's keep going. Aliens above and among us.
For the longest time, when people would bring up aliens, the go-to alien species were Martians. Martians have been portrayed in most of our cinema as some kind of threat to our planet. Angry, little, big-headed killing machines that definitely wanted no peace with the human race. But at some point, Mars became the go-to destination for planetary travel. We've sent robots. Governments are trying to be the first to get people on Mars. There seems to be so many pro-Mars discoveries happening. There are signs that water used to exist on Mars. It might be able to sustain human life. And we're going to dive into the long game of populating Mars. We would soon run into the big question of, if humanity was able to populate Mars, who do you think is getting the golden ticket there? Like in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, 4 out of the 5 tickets ended up in the hands of some of the world's richest and most spoiled. So you can imagine what kind of all-inclusive resort Mars would become if humans finally made their travel plans there. And with all the focus on Mars, it feels like the other planets in our solar system are just pretty spheres of nothing important. Only the moon gets some credit, but only because it's big and visible. Rarely do people look at the moon and say, wow, that thing controls our tides. But today, I, Nick, present my case for one planet that we should all be talking about. Venus.
Oh, right. Nice.
Yes.
Okay. You're right. But we also always talk about how the moon controls the tide.
Not all of us.
I always say that.
You do, because you're a weirdo. Because you like oceans.
Well, because I always use it as an excuse of, like, maybe that astrology is real because of how, like, police departments, they know that when it's a full moon, they have more action coming.
Yeah.
And the moon controls the tide, and our bodies are mostly water, so why wouldn't it control us?
Oh.
And then where the moon is at the time you're born is going to affect your whole body. So people who are born when the moon is somewhere are going to be affected in a different way, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Man, you apparently you love the moon.
But Mars gets all the credit.
Mars gets all the credit.
Because it's got a face.
Yeah. Man, we got to go to Mars.
Yeah. Because we've been to the moon, apparently.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
And nothing was
there was no face, no butt, nothing. No foot.
No foot.
No foot on the moon. There was only step foot on the moon.
Yeah.
But no moon of the foot. All right, cool. Let's keep going. The People of Venus.
Back in the 90s, there was a popular relationship book called Men Are for Mars, Women Are for Venus. But even more back, in 1957, supposedly a man from Venus came to Earth and made contact with Eisenhower and Nixon. Side note, one of the most recent American horror stories was written around this myth. Valiant Thor was his name, and he spent 3 years meeting various high-level officials around the U.S.
There Did was you say officials?
Officials. That's what I call them.
Officials.
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 Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's a book, Stranger at the Pentagon, written in 2001 by Dr. Frank E. Stranges, a UFO expert and conspiracy theorist, all about his encounter with Valiant Thor. Now, you can take what you will from a book written by a conspiracy theorist named Dr. Stranges, but in the book, he did point out what was believed to be Valiant Thor's reason for visiting the U.S. Valiant Thor wanted to warn the presidents about the danger of nuclear weapons and how they will ultimately lead to economic imbalance around the world and possibly the end of humanity. Stranges went on to say that Valiant Thor revealed a second reason for his visits, to bring humanity closer to God. Well, I need to add that Dr. Stranges, at various points in his life, was an evangelical Christian minister. Once again, do what you will with that little note. Remember the Project Blue Book? The U.S. Air Force's documents that contained info on various otherworldly things that the U.S. were attempting, like the Majestic 12 experiments, which we covered on this podcast, the experiment where the military was trying to train soldiers on how to fight in the astral world? Well, in a part of those documents, it was noted that Valiant Thor revealed that Venetians survived the planet's inhospitable climate by living underground. In fact, all other planets in the solar system have civilizations living underground, and Earth was the only planet where its civilization lived above ground. Valiant Thor also promised one day a large group of Venus dwellers would travel to Earth to help with the Earth's seemingly insurmountable problems, and that extraterrestrials from distant star systems would one day do the same. But many Earthlings, including us, believe that aliens have visited our planet many times over and have had their hand in several of our developments. In fact, one very famous historical figure was rumored to have been brought from Venus to Earth as a child, and his incredible accomplishments in science were apparently vast in numbers that we can't fully know. Unfortunately, after his death in January 1943, representatives of the U.S. Government Office of Alien Property seized many of this prolific scientist's documents relating to his inventions and more. That man was Nikola Tesla.
Whoa!
Yeah!
Okay, I think I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But then, like, the government shut it down because it was, like, free energy. Can't have anything for free.
Well, they took a lot of his projects, and then I'll explain all that. So here we have Nikola Tesla was rumored to have been brought to Earth from Venus as a child. Nikola Tesla was born in, like, 1856, right? And died in 1943. And then Valiant Thor comes in 1957. You know, another Venetian.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, you killed the one that we left here, so we're going to send a fully grown adult?
Yeah. Yeah, we saw that series of American Horror Story, too.
Yeah.
And it was very... I didn't know, but they did stay pretty close to the plot, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so they send the kid here. They're like, well, he's going to grow up there because we don't want him to be too weird, probably. Because if you send a full adult, he's going to come and you're like, man,
yes,
there
we go. Yes. Yes, that's exactly
so
how
then
it
they send the. So then they send the adult and then give him, you know, a knife or something.
Yeah, let's say, hey, he's a little bit better prepared.
Yeah, and then he goes up to the government and he's like, yeah, don't blow up your planet.
Yep.
That's a bad idea.
So there is, so Venus, that's what I'm putting. Put the little pinpoint there in Nick's conspiracy theory iceberg.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe Jesus was from Venus?
Oh, no, he's from Jupiter. Because of the rings. It's Saturn. What? He's from Saturn because of the rings.
What is that?
Which one has it? Because Jesus had a halo.
Lord of the Rings.
Because Jesus had a halo.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Lord of the Rings. I'd be so mad at you.
No, why would I talk about Lord? That's a fake story.
All right, let's keep going. The Genius from Beyond.
Thanks to the Freedom of Information Act of 2016, many FBI files were declassified and made mostly public. There were 250 pages on Nikola Tesla, and although some of the info was blotted out, there was a very strange paragraph in the third report that said, "The space people visited the Tesla engineers many times and informed us that Tesla was from Venus, brought to this planet as a baby, and was left with Mr. and Mrs. Tesla in a remote mountain province in 1856 in what is now Yugoslavia." Before I continue, dear listeners, I want to highlight that Tesla was supposedly brought to Earth in 1856, and almost 100 years later, Valiant Thor visited Earth, which we just said. Some said that without Tesla's contributions, the development of the entire world would be at least half a century behind where it is today. Tesla had more than 1,000 invention patents on record. To include the patents he sold or did not register, the number jumps to over 1,500. It has been calculated that Tesla, at his peak, was basically knocking his new invention out every 20 days. Pretty superhuman. Tesla even predicted things like the invention of the smartphone and such. While there's still so much mystery to why the US government immediately wanted to seize Tesla's documents after his death, there is a theory. Amongst many of Tesla's findings, it was rumored that he had laid out plans for what was basically nicknamed the Death Ray. But a rumored death ray wasn't what the government worried. It was the fact that Tesla had an heir to his estate, his nephew, Sava Kosavanik, who at the time was the Yugoslavian ambassador to the U.S. Now, are you connecting the dots? The U.S. was worried that all of Tesla's inventions and findings would land in the hands of another country. Ain't no way that's going to happen. The FBI even considered arresting Tesla's nephew to keep this from happening. In 1952, a U.S. court did rule that all of Tesla's property should go to the nephew, and his nephew received 60 boxes of his uncle's findings, and he put them in a museum that you can visit today. Now, here's the funny thing. There was originally 80 boxes pulled from Tesla's apartment. I guess the 20 missing boxes were just considered lost in transit. Here's another funny thing. 3 weeks after Tesla's death, an electrical engineer from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, was tasked with evaluating his papers to determine whether they contain any ideas of significant value. According to the declassified files, that engineer reported that his analysis showed Tesla's efforts to be primarily of speculative, philosophical, and promotional character, and said the papers did not include new sound, workable principles, or methods for realizing such results. Basically, that there was nothing of use in Tesla's work. That engineer, Dr. John G. Trump. Yep, Donald Trump's uncle. Whoa. Donald even used to brag in interviews that his uncle used to tell me all about nuclear before nuclear was nuclear. That's not a good Donald impression. but that's how he should talk. He used to tell me about nuclear before nuclear was nuclear. He used to tell me about nuclear before nuclear was nuclear.
That was really good.
Yeah. By the by, it's believed that Reagan's Star Wars program was inspired by Tesla's rumored death ray papers. Now, you might be thinking, Nick, is this just another history lesson? Nay, nay. Because there is another rarely discussed Nikola Tesla story that adds to the mystery of life beyond us. In the summer of 1899, Nikola Tesla had an experience that left him with a feeling, as he had later written, that I had been the first to hear the greeting of one planet to another. So I can continue if you want me to.
Continue.
Christmas, 1900. The world was excited for what the new century may bring. In a written request from then soon-to-be-published article about the possibilities of this new century, the Red Cross asked Tesla to predict man's greatest possible achievement. He replied to the American Red Cross, New York City, "The retrospect is glorious. The prospect is inspiring. Much might be said of both. I've observed electrical actions which have appeared inexplicable. Faint and uncertain though they were, they give me a deep conviction and foreknowledge that ere long ago, all human beings on this globe, as one, will turn their eyes to the firmament above with the feelings of love and reverence, thrilled by the glad news. Brethren, we have a message from another world, unknown and remote." Now, side note, at the time he ruled out three planets of where the message could have come from. The moon, the sun, and, you may have guessed it, Venus. Right? So he ruled Venus out for some reason.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound very Venus-y,
and I know. Whoops! Tesla had constructed a massive tower at his home laboratory in Colorado Springs, the Wardenclyffe Tower. It was built with the intent of working and experimenting with wireless power and energies. Tesla said of the experience, "I have a deep conviction that highly intelligent beings exist on Mars. While experimenting in Colorado, I obtained extraordinary experimental evidence of existence of life on Mars. I had perfected a wireless receiver, extraordinary sensitivities, far beyond anything I known, and I caught signals which I interpreted as meaning 1, 2, 3, 4. I believe the Martians use numbers for communication because numbers are universal." Martians. Now, in the episode last week, I discussed the interesting dominoes of history. Well, years after Tesla revealed his contact, there were other scientists that began to catch messages from space. The next prominent message happened in 1927. A Norwegian engineer named Jorgen Hals was experimenting with radio signals. During this, he noticed that multiple signals would echo back to the source a few seconds after the initial transmission had been completed. These long-delayed echoes were very odd, and Halls was unable to find an explanation. Amazingly, it seems like nobody has found a definitive answer to this date, and thus it has become a supposed alien contact attempt for many believers in theory. Following this, in February 1960, Time reported that the U.S. Navy had detected a dark object thought to be a Soviet spy satellite in orbit. A follow-up article confirmed that the object was the remains of Air Force Discoverer, a satellite that had gone astray. Cover-up or not, no one really looked into the origins of that object any further until 1988.
That's when things went down.
That's when things went down.
That was the year before I was born.
Yep.
They're like, we better get it done.
We better get these things done.
Okay, so to summarize.
Yes. Oh, you want me to summarize
it?
Oh, okay.
That's just a lot of information.
Yeah, okay. So basically, to summarize, Tesla in 1899 had built this tower and said that he received a message from Mars. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right, so that was posted in there, and that's where it's kind of sparked.
Is this the radio signal they got?
Well,
have you heard of that?
There's other radio signals that have happened. But yeah, so throughout, he is the first person to say he got a radio signal from there. Then again, it happened later in like 1927. 1927 was the next signal, right? And then in 1960, there was a supposed discovered hovering craft in orbit, and it was quickly written off by the government as, oh, that's just remains.
It's just weather balloons.
From our stuff. That's it. That's
or
all that was.
Swamp gas.
You know, so a lot of these things, Tesla getting this message from Mars and all this is what led to many theories about aliens existing.
Okay, cool.
And we're about to talk about what is believed to have been orbited, and then I'll tell you my big theory.
Wow. The Black Knight satellite.
In 1988, a series of images were taken from a space shuttle mission named STS-88. The images, which were released by NASA a decade later, showed a black object hovering above the Earth in low orbit. Now, two of the astronauts on the shuttle did eventually offer an explanation. They said the floating object in the photos was a thermal blanket that came loose while they were working on the spacewalk. But all of these random moments have many people believing in what they call the Black Knight satellite. The Black Knight satellite is believed to be an alien spaceship, possibly manned, possibly not, that has been basically hovering the planet for longer than we can imagine. It hovers just out of any sunlight and radar, so it's basically invisible to our planet. And it basically has been watching us for up to 13,000 years. The conspiracy theory began after Tesla's claim of receiving a message from Mars, and it's still very believed by UFO theorists all over the world. But I think just believing that aliens are watching us, well, that's just the tip of the iceberg, Edie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how scary is the idea that aliens are watching us? Oh, scary, right? But what if there's more to aliens just watching us? What if Martians are waiting to attack? And what if aliens are not completely different species than us? What if almost every form of aliens that exist in our solar system are just way advanced future versions of us? Now, don't worry. I'm going to let out my 1, 2, 3. Here's my conspiracy theory that I present to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? According to Valiant Thor, every planet has a species that lives underground, which is kind of where some of our population is headed. Underground bunkers are definitely a thing right now. How many years away are we from completely moving underground? Are we already there? So let's throw that idea into the conspiracy blender. Put that in, Edie.
Okay.
All right? Now let's add that we know very little when it comes to how time really works when it comes to all things universe. Anyone worth their weight in sci-fi interest knows that if a manned spaceship took off light years away from Earth, the astronauts on the spaceship would age considerably slower than everyone on Earth. And since we don't know the actual age of the universe, could our Earth have already had multiple versions of human species that left millions of years ago? I mean, some of us believe that aliens are just future versions of us coming back to check in on us. Now, one last thing to add into that conspiracy blender. If aliens are future versions of us that are returning back for their reasons, what's not to say that all of the supposed warring aliens aren't just future versions of species from this planet? Future versions that are waiting for their moment to either reclaim Earth as its own or making sure that the worst future species doesn't annihilate the others. Now, maybe Martians are the future versions of our species that may eventually populate Mars. Maybe Valiant Thor and supposedly Nikola Tesla were another version of our species that populated Venus. And maybe all the Mars attacks type of stories are actually propaganda in a space war beyond our imagination, put here by Venetians to win us over to their side before all breaks loose. I mean, it should be obvious that if we ever populate another planet, especially for leisure, the ships will have humans from all classes, because it would be basically a huge cruise ship, but also pets and other animals. I mean, we've already sent animals to space, and people have introduced animals into ecosystems on our very own planet that they let go into the wild that weren't supposed to be there, which completely changed that ecosystem forever. So one thing is for sure, people are flawed. People aren't very aware of themselves when it comes to their impact on a planet. It's pretty safe to say that even if we set up out to send our brightest, smartest, and best behaving to space, the slippery slope of our most entitled and aggressive of our species getting into space would be right around the corner. I mean, right now we have 3 billionaires trying to take joyrides into our planet's orbit. So if Valiant Thor was real, his mission was to get us to stop building nuclear weapons. And we most definitely did not. Humans are not good at listening to warnings. We're also not good at keeping secrets. So who knows what's really happening in those underground laboratories around the globe? Well, I know who. World leaders do. And if anything, these past few years, we've seen more former presidents kind of joke that aliens do exist. In fact, when Donald was asked if there was indeed UFOs and aliens, smiling in tongue-in-cheek reply, he said, I won't talk about it, what I know about it, but it's very interesting. And whatever he knows, his uncle knew first.
Wow. So the big thing is that his uncle was in the nuclear stuff. That's crazy.
He told me about the nuclear before there was nuclear.
Right. But you think he really did?
Hey, there was something called nuclear. That's all. Oh, that was thank it. You. Maybe.
Nuclear, yeah. There's something called that. Okay, cool.
Okay, thanks, okay. Uncle.
Thanks, Uncle. Wow. That's kind of like how my uncle.
That's why I put it in there. Yeah, I was like, people and their uncles.
I have a lot, I can relate to this story a lot because, my uncle's famous and has 4 Grammys, so.
Yeah. So you get what I'm putting out there.
Yeah. I get what you're putting out there, and it's really interesting. I had no idea that. It's crazy that whenever you have, someone who's super, super famous or super successful, it does seem like there's always a connection to somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, with me, I'm super famous and successful at this podcast,
Yeah. Yes, it's very all connected.
Okay, cool.
So my whole thing was when I first started, diving into my topic, I started with the Black Knight satellite, went into Tesla, then really thought about Martians. Like, we've been told Martians are so bad. But, yeah. It's kind of like propaganda down here when there's wars.
Or immigrants.
Yeah, you're told that something else is bad. Like, oh, look at this. These people are bad. And here's all the things you need to know about them. So that's why I was like, well, wait a minute.
And also just something's too useful. A lot of people don't want it out there because they can not make money. Like the energy thing or even hemp. You can use hemp for anything. And it was just to make sure that other products could sell better.
Yeah. Yeah, Tesla was doomed, unfortunately, to be his demise, just not be respected as a scientist. Respected now, but not, given the power to do what he wanted to do because he was trying to give things for free.
Do you think he knows that he was a Martian? I mean, a Venetian?
I don't know. But, that's what it said in the FBI report. Spacemen would come visit the Tesla engineers and talk to him, so maybe he did.
Yeah, and I guess they would have told him, hey, you're one of us.
Hey, you're one of us, but don't say it to them because they're aggressive and they'll kill you.
Right. Look at the bottom of your foot.
What? The bottom of my foot? It says, from Venus.
Made in Venus.
Made in Venus. Oh, no. So So there you go. So that's my conspiracy theory for this week, guys.
I think you're probably right.
Thank you. Should we do one more story?
I think we should do one more story. That was a lot to absorb.
I know. Well, that's what I do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still absorbing it. That was a crazy amount of information. Yes. All right, let's get our heads together with one more story. All right, before we get into the last story, don't forget to join us on the Facebook group, Instagram, and website, and submit your scary story to us. We would love to read it. And if you don't have a scary story, you can still just join us on the Facebook group. We have a lot of fun. And do not forget to give us 5 stars after this. It really does help the podcast out a bunch. Nick, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at Stir Crazy Comedy Club in Glendale, Arizona, this Friday, Saturday, today, tomorrow for 4 shows. And then we'll be doing Oxnard Levity Live Valentine's Day on Monday, a special Valentine's Day show, Edie and I and others. So there you go.
So romantic. All right, let's get to the last story, which is called Mr. Nobody, and it is written by Aromatic Rhubarb.
I hope I'm nuts. I want to be nuts, just like doesn't seem like the case. I've lived with a condition called narcolepsy since I was 13. An extra little gift from the condition is onset sleep paralysis, meaning it's normal while falling asleep to get stuck. Now, on occasion, I have the sensation while falling asleep that I'm submerging deeper and deeper underwater, and when I get deep enough, I'll fall asleep. It's the way down that's weird. The deeper I go, the longer it takes to snap out of it. I can feel my body, but I cannot move my body, much like sleep paralysis. Every now and then I'll have night terrors, and a lot of my night terrors I remember way past the point that I had them, like dreams of being held captive with a family member and them watching as I was being flayed alive. Or one time I had a nightmare where buildings around me were being bombed with screams of the wounded, and a woman having her legs crushed beneath fallen debris, begging me to take her daughters with me to safety. Now, both of those night terrors have a strange residual effect. I'll snap out of it or wake up, but I'll still feel whatever's going on. You know, I'll feel my skin tingling or outright sore, but no visible injury from whatever was happening. Anyway, here's the incident I want to talk about. When I was 17, I went over to my uncle's house to visit my newborn cousin. Right away, I could tell that there is something that was bothering my uncle. He opened up about it. Adam, there's something weird going on in this house. Light bulbs being thrown down the stairs, missing from their sockets, running up and down the steps, along with heavy footsteps around the house, door slamming. Now, my family has been made to be aware of spooky situations. We've been raised to pay attention to how a house makes you feel against reason. All right, we have to be skeptical and distant, besides the reasons. Now, next thing my uncle asked for me was to go check out the basement. Down in the basement, he made a cool little man cave. I went and sat around on the couch looking around. All was good, nothing weird feeling about it. Then I got transfixed on this purple painting on the wall. It was perpendicular on the wall to a Muhammad Ali picture. The reflection of Ali off the painting looked weird. I stared at it, and then I got a huge chill up my spine. I focused on what I thought was the face of a balding, heavy, set white man. I bugged out. I went back upstairs and confirmed to my uncle, yeah, it's creepy. I decided to stay over. I slept in the spare room. It took me a little bit to relax, but it wasn't long before I was slipping away. Then I got one of my narcoleptic moments where I was totally aware of my body. I was in a full-on lucid dream. I was standing outside the house, staring at the brick wall to the outside of the room I was in. I was slowly and strangely moving closer and closer to the house. I had the sensation that I feel like I wasn't the one actually moving. Now, as I was moving towards the house, I couldn't snap out of it. Not until I was so close to the wall, I was nearly walking into it. And then I woke up and had a chill up my spine. I shook it off. I tried to relax and fall asleep again. I rolled over, put the blanket on my shoulder, just got frustrated, rolled back onto my back. And then I felt this huge weight sit down on my chest. But it was different. I wasn't asleep. I was able to kick my legs a little. I tried to move my arms, but they were pinned on either side of my head. I sank deeply into the mattress. I could feel this excess weight sink me deeper into the mattress. I couldn't breathe, coughing and gasping. Finally, I was able to lift my head slightly. I watched the blanket be pulled off of me. Honestly, at this point, I think and see and move. I'm struggling like I'm awake, but my own screams couldn't come out. They were like, there was like this loud echo inside my head. Once it stopped, I rolled onto the floor and got to the wall where I had to catch my breath before I could call for help. My uncle finally came in. But before he did, I noticed the blankets were in this very neat pile at the foot of the bed. Now, the only way I could have accomplished that was by standing on the bed, holding the blanket spread out and slowly dropping it into a neat pile on the floor. Now, although I never had an episode like that before, I just wrote the whole experience off as a narcoleptic moment, and I hadn't had one like that since. My uncle has had another child, a daughter, and his family spent many years in that house. But the weird stuff never stopped, and I had one more crazy experience in his house. Now, when my uncle's son turned 3, they would catch him staring at the ceiling, just talking to himself. When they asked who he's talking to, his son would say, "Mr. Nobody." My uncle asked him, "What does Mr. Nobody look like?" "Oh, he has a big red face with red eyes." One day, when the kids were 4 and 2, I was asked to babysit. It was not a day that I want to relive. My uncle and aunt left at 3 p.m. that day. As soon as they left, the little girl began bawling at the door. The little boy started to try to convince me that there were footprints leading us into the basement. I shut that mini trip down by closing the basement door. Then everything was fine, till about 1 a.m. Both kids were asleep. I heard what sounded like wheezing or difficult breathing. My adrenaline kicked in. I immediately checked both kids. They were fine. When I sat down on the couch, I started hearing it again. I matched my breath to it. It was a full adult breathing. So I turned up the TV. Eventually, I fell asleep. At 3:30 a.m., I woke up. The son was standing in front of the TV. I called to him. He wouldn't respond. It was like he was in a trance. I began to think he must be sleepwalking. I kept calling until I got to him. I touched him on the shoulder. He snapped out of it. Then he just started bawling, confused and scared. Needless to say, he slept on the couch with me the rest of the night. After this night, both kids began having issues with sleepwalking. A year later, my uncle moved his family out of the house. Neither has sleepwalked since. Now, I have just come to the conclusion that my experiences there were just more of my lifelong struggle with nocturnal hallucinations. I really don't want to think that there was more to the house than any of us knew. I mean, what can really be done about supernatural problems? I'm just happy for my uncle listening to his feelings about the house and moving out. I think what really drove him to decide to leave, at some point, both kids knew who Mr. Nobody was, and they still remember Mr. Nobody to this day.
Oh, wow. This is why we don't have kids.
Yeah. They attract. Because ghosts are like, "Oh, kids, I want to play with you."
Right. I'm sure there's ghosts here right now, but they know that, like, I don't mess with them.
Yeah, there's no kids. I'm just going to mess up their pictures.
They're too stupid.
They're too stupid. They'll just fix it.
The sleepwalking thing, I've always thought that sleepwalking is connected in some way to being possessed for some reason. I've always just had that feeling that it is. And I sleepwalk and sleep talk a lot.
Yeah.
But and my brother used to have night terrors and sleepwalk and walk around the house. And he would be screaming and he wouldn't be awake. It was really scary. It was really traumatizing, actually. But I would hear him walking around in the middle of the night and he would be like crying and screaming. And I would be so scared. I didn't want to get up and like try to wake him up. Because it's like, you're not supposed to wake up somebody who's sleepwalking or something.
Yeah.
And so he'd be like walking around screaming, like having this nightmare, but up and like awake. And I would have to wait for my parents to go get him.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't want to like cause him brain damage or something by waking him up. I think that's a myth too.
I think it's been said that it's a myth, but you know.
When you're a kid,
why take
a
chance?
Yeah. But it was so funny because when he would wake up and tell us what the dream was about, it would be like, a Buzz Lightyear was fighting a Pokemon. Buzz Lightyear was fighting a Pokemon.
It scared me.
Screaming.
That's just the crazy thing about nightmares. You get scared about the dumbest things sometimes. Sometimes they're legit and then sometimes it's
that. Just like, it's like a cartoon dog is chasing you or something. It's so unfair. Nightmares are so unfair. Like dreams in general are just so unfair because you have to go through the emotions of like something that isn't real. Like, you know, like the emotions of seeing that person crushed. And like in the building explosion that he was talking, you have to actually feel that.
Yeah.
And it's so unfair because it's just nothing. It's just all a joke.
Yeah. And then you wake up. Well, I used to try to do this joke, and I had a theory that your nightmares, you're actually in another world, right? Freaking out, you're seeing it, and then you pop back into your body. I was like, you ever notice like when somebody's like running down the street in their underwear, just ah. You know?
No, I've never noticed that.
Have you ever seen anybody going nuts in public?
Yeah.
You know, and then you never see them again?
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody that, that was having a nightmare in their world, came to ours.
And then went back.
And then went back.
And then their world is the one where all the cartoon dogs are like, what's wrong with the dogs here?
I don't know. I was a person and I was near a bank.
That's so scary. And there was a Buzz Lightyear.
And that was scary to you? Yes.
Well, in their world, they don't have banks.
Oh, no. Buzz Lightyear's attacking again.
I mean, banks are scary to me.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to True Scary Stories with Edie and Nick. We love you guys. We'll see you on the Facebook group. Make sure you wash your hands and go see Nick if you're in Arizona. And come see
us in Oxnard.
And yeah, in Oxnard. All right, guys, stay safe. Wash your hands.